Welcome to the Limitless Church Podcast. In this week's episode, you'll be hearing from Kevin Selhorst as he presents the message, Blueprints. Jesus said yes to God's plans. We hope you enjoy.
Somebody in this room during this week has been, the past has been brought up multiple times. Something that was insignificant in your life, or was very significant in your life, that made you feel very insignificant in your life. Something that there's chatter been in people's ears to tell you how not good you are, or some faults that you've had in your life, or some areas that you needed improvement in your life. And what I want to tell you is that the Father is here today, and He wants you to know that that's not of Him. It's not of Him. He created you for good works. I don't know what kind of God you serve, but I serve a God that doesn't screw up. I serve a God that you know, we used to have a little picture when I was growing up that said, God don't make junk. I used to put it on, I mean, I think they did a whole thing where they gathered money and it was on the refrigerator, this little grimy looking boy on there, and it said, God don't make junk. God don't make mistakes. So if that was coming up in your past, then I can tell you it wasn't God telling you. So there was another thing at work there, and it was the enemy trying to tell you and trying to lessen you and trying to tell you to try to keep you down, trying to keep his thumb on you and keep you broke down so that you can't do what God's called you to do, that you can't do what the master had designed for you to be in life. So I want to speak against those things in the name of Jesus, that those things that were brought up to you this week are nothing but lies. All right, lies just come. He is the father of lies, okay? I don't glorify him, but the fact of the matter is he's pretty decent at his job. He's been doing it for a while. All right, he got a little bit jealous. He got thrown down into the hot place. So now that's where that lie comes from, is from the pit of hell. Now, we don't serve that. We don't deal with that. But we can't be naive enough to not realize that that's what's happening in your life. So we have to realize that if he is for us, then who can be against us? What, him, the guy that got thrown out? Oh, the guy that ain't got his keys to his own place. All right. Just think about that one for a little while. So what I want for people to understand, what I want you to understand, what I want you to gather from the fact that the enemy has been all up in your face this week is the fact that there's a scripture out there called, I am more than a conqueror. I'm more than a conqueror. By the words of my testimony and the blood of the Lamb. Well, we already bled for us, right? And if you're going through something, you done been through something, you're on the other side of it, guess what that becomes? Your testimony. And guess what your testimony is? Once you can call it a testimony, it ain't for you no more. You already gleaned all that off of there. You already got all the good stuff off. Now your testimony, you go share it with a brother and a sister. And then guess what? It encourages them, and then they move forward. And then they start to realize songs like this, that he is for you. Yeah, he was for me. Guess what? He can be for you too. He don't care about what you've done. He only cares about what he designed you to be and what he's going to make you to be, and what you just got to submit to it and move on for it. So I hope whoever walked in here today for just sermon part one, this is what you get it. You understand that he is for you. He is for you. Thank you, worship team. Amazing job. This isn't as easy as you think it, but we make it look pretty easy up here. It's really not. Hey, we're going to keep talking about, you guys can have your, take seats, have seats, sit down, rest your legs. I'll stand for the rest of us. But we've been talking for the past, I think this is the third week, if I remember right. But I brought this together, and I think it's an amazing, amazing concept that the little ones that are in there are learning, because you know, we had a friend years ago, and he said something so profound that there's no junior Holy Spirit, right? There's no junior God. There's no junior Jesus. There's no, like Jesus doesn't have this little mini-me that runs in there. You know, there's not a mini Holy Spirit that runs in there and takes care of the kids, and it's a different Holy Spirit than you and I. All right, those little kids in there are sponges, and they draw on things. They pay attention to what we do. They pay attention to what everybody else around them do. And guess what? God can speak through your children so profoundly, because guess they're not as wise to the world as we are. Being wise to the world really isn't all that wise. It's more of a filter that we got to push God's word through, because it just gets diluted with the world. So when a child, I know we've had our daughter, and you know, she's been blessed because she's been in the church like pretty much her whole entire life. But we've had her interpret dreams. I had a dream one time. We were just sitting around the dinner table, and I was explaining this dream, and all of a sudden, out of the mouth of the babe, she's just like, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. We're like, yeah, what was she? She was five. Yeah, she completely broke down my dream, made it all spiritual, answered questions that the grown-ups couldn't answer. I was like, oh, okay, you want to do the taxes too? You know, take care of the, you know. Hey, I got a college class coming up. You want to jump on that five-year-old? But I think it's amazing whenever you can come into a body of Christ and you can join. So what I do is I encourage you that the stuff that we're going to be talking about, the same scriptures. The main scripture is going to be John 12. It's going to be up on the screen. But that's what your kids are going to be talking about, or grandkids, or whatever, however you're related to them ones on the other side of the building. But please, I encourage you, get a conversation started with them. Don't talk about TikTok or anything else that's cool that's going on. The TikTok's hilarious, and I can watch TikTok videos forever and just get lost in it forever. But, so we jump in to John. The hour has come. That's what this week's called. It's the big idea, the big plan. The hour has come. And in John 12, 20, verses 20 through 33, we're going to throw them up. I'm going to read it all. You guys can just pay attention on the back. It says, now there were certain Greeks among those who came up to worship at the feast. Then they came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida of Galilee, and asked him, saying, sir, we wish to see Jesus. Philip came and told Andrew, and in turn, Andrew and Philip told Jesus. But Jesus answered, and pay attention, we're going to come back to this verse, but Jesus answered them, saying, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there my servant will also be. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. Now my soul is troubled, Jesus is saying, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? But for this purpose, I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Therefore, the people who stood by and heard it said that it had thunder. Others said an angel has spoken to him. And Jesus answered and said, the voice did not come because of me, but for your sake. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. And I, if I am to be lifted up from earth, I will draw all people to myself. This he said, signifying by the death that he would die. See, as we look back, I want to roll back to verse 23. But Jesus answered them, saying, the hour has come and that the Son of Man should be glorified. Most assuredly, I say unto you, unless a grain of wheat dies. He says in this point, he says, for my hour has come. And I titled this, the hour has come. Now, do you realize that four times, we'll take you back through the book of John here a little bit. Do you realize that four other times in the book of John, his hour had not come yet? Most of y'all are very familiar with this, but you didn't realize it. I didn't really realize it until I started studying this. You go back to John 2. And it said on the third day, everybody remembers this one. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now, both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. And when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, they have no wine. And Jesus said to her, woman, kids, don't try that. Hopefully they're teaching them back there. Don't do that to your mom. Woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come. John 7, verse 6 says, then Jesus said to them, my time has not yet come, but your time is always ready. The world cannot hate you, but it hates me because I testify of it that it works, that its works are evil. You go up to the feast. I am not yet going up to the feast, for my time has not yet fully come. When he had said these things to them, he remained in Galilee. Move down to verse 30, and it says, therefore they sought to take him, but no one laid a hand on him because his hour had not come. Now, if you remember this story right here, he's actually in the synagogue around a whole bunch of people, and he's preaching a whole bunch of stuff, and it would be like me being in this room, and you guys don't like what I'm preaching, and then all of a sudden you come to lay hands on me, not holy hands. you fitting to take me out and take me and go like beat me behind the woodshed or something like that. And something happened. He pulled a Jesus ninja thing. Ninja smoke bomb went up and they couldn't touch him. He literally, like, if you read that whole thing, he kind of just rolls into the crowd and he's out the exit door. Nobody even sees him. They couldn't lay hands on him because his hour had not come. John 8 and 19 says, then they said to him, "Where is your father?" Jesus answered, "You know neither me nor my father. If you had known me, you would have known my father also." These words Jesus spoke in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no one laid hands on him. Once again, he threw up the ninja bomb on him. In a whole group of people talking, just telling them that, hey man, basically you're wrong. You don't know what you're talking about. They're going to come get him, and he's gone. But no one laid a hand on him, for his hour had not come. John 12, verse 23, "But Jesus answered them, saying, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it." You got the rest of it. A grain of wheat is designed or blueprinted to only produce when it has given. A seed never becomes the tree. A seed never becomes what it's designed to be. What the master designer, what the blueprint author, what the author and finisher of our faith has designed it to be. A mustard seed is just a mustard seed. It's a little tiny thing. It'll never become the mustard plant unless it goes into the ground and it dies unto itself. It will never be what the master has designed it to be. This building that we stand in right now, you see all these blueprints. All these things are required, right? Somebody had a vision. Somebody had a plan. Whoever designed this building, whoever designed your house, they had a plan. They had something that came into their mind that said, wow, this is what I want. They had a vision in their mind. And if you look at this and you go back, oh, this is the way Kevin's brain works. I go back to the beginning when there was nothing but space and void and darkness. And God had a plan. He had a vision. He had a dream. And there's a scripture in that says that he's known you before you were formed in your mother's womb. He anointed you, appointed you, and called you before that time, before you were even an inkling in your parents' eyes. And he sat there and he was like, wow, man, I got... Here's Charlie. This is what I'm going to do with Charlie right here. I'm going to put an ear right there. And I'm going to have his jawline right like this. And I'm going to make up these schematics. And this is going to be Charlie. And this is going to be the blueprint of Charlie's life. And this is what I see Charlie being in 2021. I see Charlie being this. Kind of like these people that, you know, they knew what they wanted. They knew that when they designed it, that little light right there had to be this far away from this little light right here so that you could do cool stuff with it. And that this stage right here had to have certain things because it raises up a couple inches. And whether you know that or not, you just think it's magical that push a button and the stage comes up. But if somebody designed that, somebody thought this up. Somebody created this. They had to have a thought in their mind. And then where we're at right now is that, like, all these times that Jesus' time had not come yet. He knew that. But see, Jesus got a little in on it, you know, because, you know, it says, if you know me, you know my father. If you don't know my father, you don't really know me. See, he was kind of in on the blueprint. He kind of knew what was happening. But you know what always cracks me up in the humanity of Jesus? You talked about it. Didn't even know what I was preaching. You talked about it up here. And then it's in here too. Like he gets to the garden. Now Jesus knows the beginning from the end. He knows all things. He knows the beginning from the end. He knows that when he goes into the garden to pray, he knows what the outcome is going to be. He knows he's got to hang on a cross and die for him as the seed of life to produce what he was designed to produce in us. One grain seed goes into the ground and dies and produces a bushel, a bundle, a whole bunch of grain, you know? Jesus had to die. He had to go down for 3 days, germinate. He had to become something else to sprout forth, to come forth on that third day. And then that's what we base our whole entire, that's why we come here. He is for me, he is for me. Well, why is he for you? Because he first did that. Because he first loved. Because he first gave himself. Because he first was the seed of grain that went down and died and then came so that he could multiply a bunch of us. Now, I don't work with a whole lot of blueprints, but I know sometimes that this is my vision, right? This was my vision. But the carpenter or the masonry man or the electrician have to interpret this. And as we walk along our daily life, see, the thing is we don't get the privilege of seeing this. Charlie didn't get to see his blueprint. He didn't get to see what this is, so we have to trust the master. And the tough thing is that if I was an electrician, I had to come into this, I got to know how to read this schematic. I got to be familiar with the lingo that's in here. I could give this one to you, because you would understand this one, because this is all the trees and bushes and grass. You know this one well, because he makes the outside of here look amazing. And then, get in the clap. And then, I don't even know what this one is. It might be plumbing. Oh, that's a parking lot. Give that to the parking lot ministry. But the designer, the author, this has got to be translated. So this is our hard part here. This is the hard part that we have to come to. This is where we have to figure out when our hour has come. This is where it's tough, and I'll just pick on Charlie because Charlie loves me and I can pick on him. But I mean, this is where Charlie, we don't get to see this. So do you ever think, like, in building? I'm not in construction, but I've been around, I've been on earth long enough to know that I'll be looking through some stuff, right? I'll be looking through a blueprint. I'll be praying and asking the Lord and seeing the times and the seasons and the walk and everything that I know, that I know some things that he's called me to, and I'm on it 100%. Yep, I know God called me to do that. And then there's other things I'm like, not real sure about that one there, Jesus. You want to give me about 3 prophets and, you know, 6 geese and a golden egg or something? I don't know. Just make it plain for me to see and know what's going on. But don't you think that, like, sometimes, like, I get a blueprint and I'm an electrician, I come into a building and I don't understand some things. So what do I got to do? What do I got to do at that point? So the smart thing would do is to call the author. Call the designer. Call the guy that created this blueprint and say, hey man. Like you want that? How far from that one? But I wonder sometimes, do we do that? I hear so many people, it's funny because I hear so many cries out, Father, where are you? And I just need God to answer this question. You know, and you hear it. All you got to do is listen. And the body of Christ is crying out for, like he's left us. And I know you've heard me say this before, but if I call the author of this blueprint, and all I do is tell the author, hey man, in this thing, man, it's kind of, I don't know, it looks like your measurements are off, man, I just can't see it, I can't do it. And all the time, the author's over there like, hey man, the designer, the blueprint writer is on there going, hey man, yeah, it's just 6 foot, dude. It's just, well, but I'm saying this and this and this, and I just keep running my mouth and I'm not listening to him. Guess what? When I hang up the phone, I'm not going to have the answer. Now translate that into your prayer life, into the communion that you have with the Heavenly Father, the one that is for you and he's for you and he's with you and all that guy. The one that got up on a cross and died for you and me. The reason why we come to church on Sunday. The reason why we're believers, saved by grace. Because if you're always crying out and you're never listening to Him, you're never going to understand what this blueprint says. You're never going to understand what the author and the finisher of you and I's faith really wants you to do. We live in a world right now where communication is like anywhere you go, you're just getting inundated with stuff. News, TikTok, Facebook, YouTube. I might be aging myself. You could probably get up here and tell me 10 more that I don't know. No, okay, all right, I'll leave her alone now. But like we're on YouTube, Facebook, all these things, and we're just getting inundated, and I think we become almost addicted to it. But are we really plugging in? Are we really worried about what He wants? Do we really want to be what He's called us to be? Do we really want it? Did we really, when we started building this building right here, did we really want it to be, you know, at that time it was Noah's, but did we really want it to be Limitless Event Venue? Because if we didn't pay attention to it, guess what? We could have just built an outhouse. Could bust out the walls, make a skating rink. I don't know. Put a patio on the back end, and we could just launch little kayaks off the back end. I mean, there's a little hill there. It'd be fun. Your boys would like it. I would like it. But that ain't what the designer designed this building to be. So, even though Jesus in His humanity knew, He knew that in His godliness what the outcome was going to be. But in His humanity, He still asks, God, you, my time has come. But, I mean, my time is here. But, wow. But Father, save me from this hour? Like, this is where Jesus just, verse 27, He says, now my soul is troubled. This is the author and finisher of our faith. What I want you to get out of here, it's okay to not know. This is the Son of God, the Lamb who was slain for you and me. The first one, now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. Save me? This is why you brought me here. So even when we get into this worship and we know that He is for you and He is for you, which I had no idea any of this was going, this is how the Holy Spirit works sometimes. There's some of you guys sitting at the threshold right now. The hour has come, and now is at hand for you. And if you don't know how to read this, He brought you here for that purpose. Don't be troubled. Jesus has no interaction with anybody else in this verse of Scripture. But for this purpose, I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came. He changed his perspective around and stopped being troubled and said, you brought me to this person. Father, be glorified. And the voice came. How many of us are at that point right now in our walk, in our life, with something in our life to where we're looking at it like, oh my gosh, I'm troubled, just like Jesus. But you're standing at the threshold of saying, Father, be glorified. Don't care what it is. Don't care what room I'm standing in right now, what the issue is. Don't care what you see in front of you, behind you, what you think with your carnal mind is going to happen. Because I get reminded daily that I'm not all that smart. Because He shows me, I didn't need anybody to agree with me. I mean, good gracious, man. Somebody like agree. Like, yeah, that's right. He dumb. I'm just like, I figured you would have done that. But how many of us are sitting in, and I'm not preaching at you. Trust and believe. This message could be, none of you could be in this room and I could be having a good time just preaching this to myself. How many of us are at the point and time in our life to where we just need to say what Jesus said and be like, Father, be glorified. And I think doing that, the voice will come. Now, you may not get a big old thundering angel voice because that was for a whole mass of people. There's times in our life where I think we talk too much. And you've heard us say, and God, don't never let me get away from this. We talk too much. We ask too many questions. And sometimes we just need to ask the Father the question, say, Father, be glorified. No matter what. There's no condition on that. If you do this, God, I'll glorify you. No. Just Father, be glorified. Blanket statement. And if we mean that, if we say it, if we confess it, we believe in our heart, I think he's good enough to send that voice and explain to you. But one of the issues is if we never sit quietly and take instruction, then we never hear. Most of you guys are parents in here. You've either been a parent or you were a kid. So you're either trying to give instruction or you're trying to be given instruction, and you've had your parents look at you and be like, zip it. Just do what I told you to do. If you're a parent, you've looked at him and said, zip it. Just do what I tell you to do. You don't have to know the why, the how, the who, the what's, and all that good stuff. Just do what I said. Why? Because I got the freaking t-shirt and I've been there before. Just do it. If you stick your finger in that light socket, guess what? You're going to feel something. It won't be Jesus. It'll be a couple volts. But so many times, we just want to know, why, God? Jesus didn't ask why. Even though he knew. He was troubled. He realized, that verse of scripture is just messing me up. And I know it's simple. I'm a simple-minded kind of guy. I'm troubled. Why should I be troubled? God be glorified. Three easy steps. He shows it to you in two verses of scripture. I'm troubled in my mind. But why should I be troubled? You brought me to this hour. This is the reason why you put me here. Oh, God be glorified. Case closed. Close the book. It's so, I mean, people try to like jump over and do all kind of crazy things to understand God and Jesus and salvation and all that. It's right there. We all are going to face hard times. It's in there. Tells you about it. If you think any different, if you think you're going to be walking on water and, you know, tiptoeing through the day to the tulips when you profess Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you didn't read the good stuff. I don't even know where I'm at in my notes, but it's good. Because the simple fact of the matter remains and will always remain. Now you can look at yourself. I think there's words out there, we call it body shaming or whatever. You can look at yourself in the mirror and not be happy with what you are. You can look at yourself in the mirror and compare yourself to other people and not like what you are. You can compare and contrast yourself all day long to 100 different people, and the fact still remains the same, is that you are an original masterpiece. I was trying to remember what that show was. He's played on USA, and he was a counterfeiter. Such a good series, too. But he would go around, he would steal artwork, but he would steal it, and then he would make a counterfeit of it and put it back. So, like, people were just, he was good, he was quick, he was fast. And, like, he would age it and make it look all, I can't remember what that show was, man. I want to, like, go, like, binge watch it now, because it's such a good show. But you're not a counterfeit. You're never supposed to be. You're the Van Gogh, man. You're the original. Yeah, others may paint something to be like you, huh? White collar, that's what it was. Yeah, sorry. Having my own little moment here. But you're an original masterpiece. And if you're trying to be anything other than the original masterpiece, then it's a counterfeit. If this building's trying to be anything other than what it was designed, approved, plans written up, and obviously they labored greatly over. I'm not even picking that thing up because it's like 40 pounds. If you're trying to be anything other than that, then you're going away from the will of God in your life. And that's scary. I don't know if you guys understand how scary that is. Because if I'm a shovel and I'm supposed and I'm trying to be a rake, you're gonna be frustrated. If I'm a car and I'm trying to be a bicycle, you're going to be frustrated. If you're not being what God designed you to be, you're going to walk around frustrated. Does anybody feel that today? Does anybody walk around all day long? You walk on the ship, you go to work, you see people that is frustrated. You ever think that maybe they just don't understand what they're called to do in life? And why don't they understand? Because they're too busy asking the questions than listening to the answers. Jeremiah 29:11, very, very familiar. Most people, it's my wife's favorite scripture. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. And then I leave you with Ephesians 2 and 10. For we are his workmanship. Other versions of the Bible say we are his masterpiece. Created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. My prayer for you, my prayer in getting prepared for this message, my prayer for you guys is to walk out of here and I know you don't 100% understand everything you're supposed to do in the will of God. I get it. I get it more than you know. But I would encourage you. I would beg you. As a follower of Jesus, that you need to be so plugged into him and you need to be in such communication with him. And if any of you have ever been married or dated or anything like that, just think about your communication with the Heavenly Father and your communication with your spouse. If I prayed like I used to pray, and I used that same thing when I talked to Michelle, I'd be feeling a cold shoulder because I'd never shut up for her to actually engage back. Remember, prayer is communication. Communication is a two-way street. Teach you something else pretty cool about the Creator. And his blueprint of you and me, this is one of the blueprints that he gets pretty much standard across. He gave you two ears and one mouth. Maybe that's because you're supposed to listen twice as much as you talk. Some of us have got one ear and six mouths going on, and y'all look crazy. So. But we had a great father figure in our life that used to say, you know, the discipline of silence. Because silence can try it. Try to sit quiet for like 5 minutes and see if you don't go out of your ever-loving mind. It takes time, but I can tell you when you quiet yourself, just try this today. Before you go to bed tonight, whenever it is that you spend time with your father, just say, Abba, I'm just gonna shut up, Daddy. You might catch his attention right there. He might, whoa, what did they say? Kevin just said he was gonna be quiet. What? Dad, check this out. Kevin gonna be quiet. Let me pause from interceding on behalf of everybody else. Hey, y'all. And just sit there and be quiet. And it'll take a little bit because all the world is still in there. All the chatter. You'll start thinking about what you got to do tomorrow. And, oh, I'm hungry. And, oh, the dogs and the cats and this and that. And you'll start. But the longer you do it, now all of a sudden you'll start hearing a different voice. And then I would encourage you to get something out that you can write down with, whether you're going to let your thumbs do the work or whether you're going to go pen and ink on them or whatever. And just start listening. You know, everybody thinks prophecy and all that stuff's kind of weird and only certain people are called to prophecy. Some of these people in the room watched me like I was one of those. But I can tell you, if you put yourself in a posture to allow him to speak, man, he's going to give you some revelation. And it may just be for you. Ain't nothing wrong with that. It may be for everybody else in the world. It may be for you. It may be for your spouse. It may be for your children. Maybe for your coworker, your neighbor. But understand that we are his masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Heavenly Father, we thank you today, God. God, I pray that the words that you've given me to give out, God, that just resonate. Just resonate, God. I pray that it just churns in them, Father. I pray that Lord, sometime during this week, Father, that they sit still and they truly want to hear from you, God, and that they truly want to receive, I guess the token term is a download from you, God. God, you're like a fiber optic internet. You're going like all the time. But Father, sometimes we're not in receive mode. We're just in output, not input. So Father, I pray that you would do a work in me and in these people this week, God, that you would pour into them, Father, and they would receive it. And God, that whatever path they were on, Father, if it was not the path that you had intended for them, you remind me in your word that you ended up having to take some people into a desert for 40 years before they understood it. You also made some people go around some walls 7 times. To show me those stories that, God, you could have done it in one pass. You could have had them walk straight to that thing. But as Kelly was sharing earlier during worship, God will allow you to walk around that mountain 7 times. See my God as a very opportunistic God. And he said, well, if you're not going to walk that path right now, guess what? I'll teach you a thing or two until you get back on the path. So, Father, I pray that we would link up with you, Father. We would listen to your voice. God, you know the desires of our heart before we even speak it. So, Father, I would pray that as we go to you in our prayer time, that we would talk a lot less and listen a lot more. If we truly want to see your glory and your will be done in our lives, Father, it's not in what we say, it's in what we do, God. God, allow us to receive your blueprint for our life so that we can walk it out and build the vessel that you've created us to be. Father, we love you, God. You are truly for us and not against us. And as they sing this song and we close out the service, if you desire prayer, I know I'll be here. Pastor Peggy, Pastor Michelle, Kelly, Charlie. And we'll gladly pray with you. But I pray that God's will be upon your life today, that his face shines upon you, and that you walk another step closer each day this week until we come together again next week. That you walk one step closer to your destiny, to your path, to what the Master has called you to be. God, we thank you. We give you glory and honor for these people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Thank you so much for tuning into this week's episode. If you would like to stay connected with Limitless Church, please check us out on all social media platforms @LimitlessCHR. We'll see you next time.